Last time on Forever GM Presents Quest. After 46 days of traveling, the party finally parted ways with the caravan, after saying their goodbyes to Arish and Fordimus and receiving some gifts from the seer Winfrey, they made their way out into the wilderness of the Shattered Waters, where they soon discovered a strange pond, glittering with gold and occupied by an ornate statue which held a trident in one hand and a gem in its chest. When investigating further, Hellion was attacked by a strange pseudopod-looking creature. The rest of the party quickly rushed to her help and ended up in an intense combat with the shapeless creature. When casting a freezing spell, Jaxer realized that the creature seemed to be weak to ice and soon managed to hit the bulk of it with a powerful ice spell, causing it to become brittle and shatter into pieces.
You break off of it and you realize the rest of the pool is kind of, while still thick, not as
alive.
Moving.
not as alive. You would also notice that the glittering stuff at the very bottom of the pool also is frozen over.
Ooh, I don't want that then. That's probably just part of it or something. Not that I'm particularly motivated by, you know, gold anyway. So my main goal is to get the hell out of the pool right now.
You and Akoko can swim up loosely, but like it's not difficult. I'm not gonna make you do a check or anything.
Yeah.
But it's like it's kinda like swimming through mud.
Gross. I just like flop onto the shore, onto the bank, and look up at them.
Felix is crouching nearby and says, "Told you not to trust anything in the water."
Told
you not to trust the water. Feel me, man. Feel me?
I refuse to feel you. I just stand up and keep spitting out water. Blech.
I'm looking down at the frozen creature with kind of a solemn expression, and I make a gesture with my hand, like sort of a wave rushing in and out, and I say, "You tried your best, fellow predator, but today you bit off more than you could chew."
Beautiful.
I am in love with Elegy.
I'm trying to figure out if now that Akoko can see the shiny thing, if she's opportunistic enough to just be like, "Well, now I'm here."
Now you're here. You're already underwater.
The shiny thing at the very bottom is completely frozen over.
Okay, then I'll just swim up to the statue instead of the edge.
Okay.
And just, like, burst out of the water, just breathing heavily, and be like, "Did you still want to check out to make sure this was the cut of the fen?"
It's not.
But there's at least, like, a 1 in 400 chance that it is, though.
Yeah, I mean, go for it, sure.
Yeah, you just want to grab it?
Yeah, I'm here.
It's a little stuck into the chest of the statue, but you can pull out the ruby easy. But do you go and grab the spear?
Yeah, that's what I assume the cut of the fen was, because that's what Hellion said it was.
As you like grab onto it, you realize it's really stuck on. Like it was almost like carved into it. Odd. Curious.
But I keep tugging.
Give me the roll. Give me the roll if you want it.
17!
Hey.
Nice.
You break it off. And it's like in half as you break. You kind of break it at the parts where it was like holding the hand. Oh. And so you also get the hand as well, but also like half of it's broken. It's like, huh.
Oh gosh. She's going to gently place it like on the top of the water over the statue's feet. And just like, I think this was part of the statue. My bad.
Yeah, I think that's what that was.
While you're breaking it, you could just take the ruby out of the chest, like, see if it's cool and magical.
Oh, do you want the ruby?
Yeah!
Okay, it'll grab the ruby. I'm right here.
It's a little stuck, but eventually you'll pull it out. Not bad. As you touch it, you can feel it kind of, you can feel it, like, buzzing with energy, as if something is threatening to escape from it.
I think there's a bee inside it.
Is anyone knowledgeable on magical stuff that they could make a roll for this?
So the way that I kind of like styled and thought about Hellion's powers is that the invoker, or at least their order of knights, are like runic mages. So like really, really like low level or like specific type of magic, not low level, but a specific kind.
No, so. this will be in your area, so you can make a roll.
Okay, so I'll throw that. Oh, 19.
19. You would know this as a chaos gem.
A chaos gem. What does that mean?
Explosive.
Oh.
Violently explosive.
Like at any time, like it's really unstable, or like you can chuck it at someone and it'll blow up?
Chuck it and or struck. Don't jostle it too hard.
Okay, fair. It's some nitroglycerin. I'll just my eyes get very wide and I very slowly approach and just sort of put my hand over, who's holding it?
Coco.
Yeah, over your hand and just like, this is a chaos gem.
Mm-hmm.
This will definitely explode if we, you know.
Like now?
No. If we mishandle it.
Like if we throw it?
Yeah, or like shake it. Don't shake it.
So pretend it's a baby and don't shake it. Got it. I've worked with babies.
Absolutely. You got it.
But do throw it at your enemies, unlike a baby.
Also, Coco's a fighter. Just kind of like jostling the class.
You are a level 5 jostler.
She thinks she's being careful, but she's like just tossing it lightly from hand to hand. I got this. I'm so careful.
As you do, yeah.
Is that what you do to babies?
No. And I just sort of like put both hands over it and take it gently out of your grasp.
Oh, do you want it? That's fine.
I'll hold on to it for now.
Yeah, you can have it. I don't need it. Technically, Elergy did ask me to get it, Hellion, so I feel like you have to work that out with her.
I'm also glad to give it to Elergy, just probably not Jaxer or you. I no offense.
Yeah, I get it.
I used to want it, but I'm not sure if I want it anymore. That sounds like a hassle.
I think it's really flattering that you think I'm so strong that I don't need an explosive. Thank you.
That is exactly what I meant.
I imagine each of your punches is like unto an explosion itself.
Oh my god, Elergy. I am blushing now.
Can't tell because of the fur, but...
You can see, like, the inner... Like,
see it in the ears.
Yeah, you can see an inner rim of the ear slightly go get red.
Oh my gosh, yes. And maybe, like, the tip of my nose.
She definitely notices that and is giving you, like, a little grin because she was clearly doing that on purpose.
Oh.
So, who's picking it up, and two, who put the storyteller's mask and the violet sight weeds in their inventory, because those have to go in inventories.
I'm holding on to the chaos gem for now unless Elegy wanted it, because I'm perfectly fine giving it to her if she does.
I think that Jaxer would make an argument to hold on to the mask just for the sake of shenanigans.
The weeds also seem like your bailiwick potentially.
Yeah.
Or yours.
Oh, that's true.
As hallucinogens.
Oh, right. Yeah. Good point. I'll hold on to those. Maybe I can learn to synthesize more.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Okay. So, Akoka did an action. Sir Hellion did an action. I believe Jaxer did an action. The Elegy.
I am interested in trying to learn about this violet sightweed. Can I roll to do like an analysis of it with my doctorly alchemy skills?
To do a solid analysis of it, it requires sampling it.
That's true.
Let's
that would make
go.
Sense.
You want to go?
Yeah. Let's flip and go.
Okay,
I'll roll my die.
Actually, no. Give me a D100. So essentially 75 and up, and who knows, okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah, who knows. Okay, so for 2 hours, you get goofy visions. Elegy gets some, how can I say this? So your vision goes sideways? Not really sideways. Like it looks, you have this feeling that you're definitely looking to your left, even though you're absolutely certain you're looking straight on. And you, every once in a while, you see Elegy kind of like walking in circles being like, I'm trying to move right because I'm constantly moving left. That's how I move straight.
Nice. Somebody reversed my controls.
Yes.
Ooh, I have an idea. Can I, before I do that, use my Nox ability on myself?
What's up?
Because that gives a variety of effects, and I could give myself alertness, increased confidence, and vivid sensations that might help me sort of get through this this experience.
Absolutely, because I wasn't done explaining all the things that were happening.
But yes. Sweet, sweet. So I'll spend an AP on that.
How does Elegy's confidence get any higher?
I know, right? It just must verge into megalomania at that point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A couple more things that occur, other than you like feeling you're always looking and walking left, which is starting to get to you. Your skin's hypersensitive right now because you wanted to give yourself increased sensitivity or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're like you can feel the air breathing on you. It's a third, you get some visions. You see moons dancing in the sky, like 24 moons.
Ooh.
You see a face that keeps blowing air at you.
Like on the corner of a map.
Like like right on your face, and like it's starting to get to you. And you can see yourself walking towards it calmly. You also see yourself shooting up into the sky like a tree, getting really tall.
Ooh, neat. And I am, because I'm a professional, like fairly calmly and loosely like dictating everything that I'm seeing in hopes that someone else is jotting it down.
Well, since I'm in the middle of like jotting down landmarks, I accidentally write down some of you're saying.
Nice.
I'm like, damn it. It's just in the middle of another sentence. It's just
that's
like
great.
Mossy rock. And then there are 24 moons in the sky. Wait, no. Damn it, Elegy.
Right. So yes, 24 moons walking confidently towards a man blowing air at your face and shooting up into the sky like a tree.
Cool. So as I come down from that, I'm like, oh, that was a real time. All right. I can see why they're into this stuff.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
You believe it's only been a couple minutes, but everyone's just been like, it's 2 hours.
Right, right. should I do my role for analyzing it?
Yes.
Oops. My die went off the table. I got a three!
Three. You were so focused on it, you've completely forgot to analyze it.
Yep. I just like kept taking more bites of it, and then I'm like, wait, I was gonna leave some left to study, but now it's gone.
Oops, I guess I could do another later.
Worth it.
Either way, so Akoko, mm-hmm. As you've all been traveling, you've been also like loosely following the like those various tracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that you find as you all continue to walk on, you find corpses. You find four,
whoa,
like long leathery bodies piled on top of each other. Next to them, there is what looks to be a teenage girl with a fishing pole.
Is she alive?
Oh yeah, she's currently fishing.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Point of interest.
Elegy says, oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to ask for clarification. What kind of bodies? Are these humanoid or?
No, they're like long and slithery and leathery. You can't get, you don't have a clear image of it. You have to get closer.
Okay, cool.
So I kind of give a look like, I knew this was coming. And then I turn to the party and say, well, dead bodies tend to turn up around me. So I'll just take a moment. Everyone stay back from the scene. And I'm going to use my various investigation abilities for examining dead bodies.
Amazing.
I think that when Elegy says that, I just kind of imagine Jaxer and Akoko like very slowly turning towards each other with like wide-eyed like
oh, that's surprising.
So I'll spend an AP on examine the dead. I evaluate a corpse within reach. It must be intact enough for me to look at it, so it can't be completely obliterated. After a minute of inspection, I'm able to determine the creature's exact cause of death and the time and date of its death.
Oh, fuck, that's really good. So you look at, does anyone talk to that girl doing the thing as you do this?
Yeah, this is going to take a while.
Yeah, I'll kind of approach her and just like take a knee. You're like, are you okay?
Oh.
Do you need help? Do you live around here?
Well, howdy. It's a pleasure to see you. Meet you, I guess. Hi.
My name is Sir Hellion Castain. This is my friend Akoko.
That's a complicated name. Can I call you Hell?
Hell would be fine.
Hell.
Yeah, that doesn't work so well, though.
Helly, good old Helly. Up in there. Okay.
Huh.
Helly. You know, you've just solved, like, a nickname problem that we've been having for, like, 50 days.
None of you told me you were looking for a nickname.
Well, your name is Hellion. It's not that complicated to learn how to say Hellion.
No, but yeah, but now it's Helly. Isn't that cute?
That's pretty cute. But Hellion was probably called Helly as a child.
I'm really distracted, but I'm still, like, muttering to myself, it is cuter.
But right, so, you look a little, rattled up in here.
Yeah, what are you doing here? Do you live around here?
Yeah, I'm fishing. Doesn't that look like nothing? She says, like, she holds a fishing pole, and it's, like, it's in, like, a nearby river.
Oh, okay.
But there's, like, dead bodies next to that. Isn't that, like, gonna make your fish taste weird?
I mean, well, no, like, you don't eat the fish right here, I imagine. Besides, they were, I was here before they were, and they were getting my, and they were, how can I say this? A little razzle-dazzled.
Did you kill all four of these things?
As Elegy, like, finally examines the whole thing, I'm just really quickly in the notes of this, you would note, these corpses, what looks to be thwacking with what looks to be kind of like a whip-like object. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a... and you're able to determine that they died within the last couple hours.
So I've jotted this down in my my little journal, and I snap it shut with a satisfying snap, and then sort of do the, like, detective pacing back and forth thing as I deliver the cause of death.
A thwacking, you say?
Yes, very clearly. Not a whacking.
A mighty fine thwacking up in, like, as well.
Like with a fishing rod, maybe.
I mean, yeah, I imagine you gotta deal with the critters whenever they get in the way of the simple life.
Wow.
Name Cedra, by the way. She holds out her hand. It's, like, calloused.
I inspect the hand for half a second just to make sure it's not a pseudopod, and then I shake it.
She looks to be approximately in her mid-teens. Okay. I wouldn't put older than, like, 17.
Well, maybe 16. I'll shake her hand briefly and then step back away. Would you happen to know where the ruins of Calcarius are? Are we on the right path?
Oh, those old things. Well. Depends. Were you coming up here from the north or the south? Because if you're heading from the north, heading to the south, then you're definitely headed the wrong way.
No, we're heading north from the south, right? And I look back.
Then
at
you're
the
definitely headed the right way, okay. Kind of around there. What are you looking for the runes for?
We have to solve three quests and then find a non-existent door.
And something about 42 moons, also.
You just double the amount of moons I said?
24 moons!
Yep.
Oh man, how are we gonna find all those moons?
I don't know about no moons, but if you're looking about the ruins...
What's in the sky?
I mean, we only got the one moon, right?
Well, that's where one... There's 41 left!
It's a scavenger hunt?
About, yeah. I imagine. You're just wandering around, I mean, it's, like, not that big of a deal, but, like, you just wander around looking for runes?
Yep, that's cool. What we're doing. Nothing, no reasoning behind it.
She, like, from a bucket nearby her, there's, like, a bunch of fruit, and she, like, pulls one, and she just starts biting into it and be like, I got none to judge, but I was like, you don't look like bandits except that one, and he's pointing towards Felix, and be like, hey.
Oh, don't worry, he's reformed.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Well, as long as y'all keep good around here, and, like, well, not that this place is much good for good, but, like, not bad. Not good for bad. But.
I just look at her with just the most confused look on my face. What did that mean?
Cedra, can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here?
I'm fishing.
I mean, yeah, but, like, it's so dangerous. There's... these things, and there's raiders, and I mean, you're out here all alone.
Oh, I'm not too concerned. I'm not too concerned. As she like, it's like, oh, it looks like I got a bite. And she like pulls on her fishing rod a bit, and she pulls and she like heaves a little bit, kind of like, I don't know, like you're trying to lift a box up, mm-hmm. kind of like that. But when she pulls it out, like a large crocodile just flies yes. out with her. And be like, ah, dang. And like as it like flies down in, down towards her, she like moves her fishing rod, and she like whips it around, and then it like immediately just like slams down onto the ground right where like the bodies of the other crocodiles were, and it spurts out blood, and she's like, again, shoot.
Just turn very quickly around to the to like Jaxer, who is right next to me because we were both talking to her, I guess. I just turn around to him, eyes wide, hand up on the side of my face so she can't see me, and I'm just like, we have to get out of here.
Yeah, and Jaxer just like lets out a really loud gulp and is just like, that nice to meet you.
LG is looking at her with like Steven Universe star eyes. She's like, she's so cool.
Yeah, that's what Akoko's doing. She has little heart eyes and they're twinkling, and she's just like, you are just so strong, especially for your age. My goodness. Oh, that's so impressive.
Oh, thank you so much. It took a while to get it took a while to handle some of these. But like, you know what? You look really strong too. I love your like calves.
Oh, thank you. I do a lot of calf raises in the mornings. I like try to like put like a big old tree trunk on my back, and then I do some calf raises, and I like to run up mountains a lot. Like it's a lot of fun.
I'm wandering over towards Akoko, and I'm trying to just like push her away.
She's going nowhere.
She's just not moving at all.
Akoko's too thin. So, well, I do this thing where I do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 squats, and I run like a lot.
One of the things I want to learn how to do in life, because you can always learn no matter how old you are, is to be able just to like take down an enemy with one punch. Do you ever want to do that?
Well, I don't know about one punch. That seems a little, how can I say this? Fantastical?
That's why I'm starting with one kick and then moving up to one punch.
She like raises a hand kind of like for a high five.
Yeah, it gives that high five.
As you both do, like everyone else feels like this wave of like force.
Oh, Akoko has found like a blood sister or something.
My coat is flapping in the breeze.
I'm holding onto my hat.
You know what? You seem so nice. Here, let me give you a couple of these. She holds out her bucket and she like takes four of them and hands them to you. Like there's these. They're kind of like. Like greenish fuzzy fruits.
Oh, peaches from the Garden of Immortality.
Is this something that I can recognize as a forager, or is it something specific to this region?
It's very specific to this region.
Ooh. Hey, you think you could like tell me about this? I mean, what is this fruit? Where can I find it?
Oh, perfect. These are called faro berries. So they're like really good for you, but even better if you're like really tired.
Tired, huh? All right. Where do they grow?
Around.
I'm scribbling that down. They grow around. All right. I'll be on the lookout.
Akoko will definitely like give everyone a piece of fruit and be like, "Oh man, can you believe Cedric just gave us some of this fruit? Come on, like this one's for you, and that one's for you, and Hellion, I think you should take the biggest one because I know you're still like growing."
I take it and I just look at you, like two arched eyebrows.
You are like the youngest in this group, I think.
Jaxer is technically the youngest.
Jaxer is not going to get any taller. We all know that.
Aw.
Is there anything like you need from us? You seem like you're just having like a great day, like pulling weird things out of the river and whacking them to death. Like, you don't need anything, like, right? Because like you've given me fruit. I feel like I should give you something.
I'm not really I don't know. Do you got any food that might be helpful? I'm not really interested in eating gator for the next week.
Pennycress.
Pennycress?
Yeah, it's delicious.
You mean those weeds that you said?
Yeah, super nutritious, fibrous. Make sure you're really regular.
I'm not really into the vegetables.
But you need it to stay regular.
What does regular mean? I'm already regular. I'm a regular person. I'll take some of that pennycress, though. That seems mighty kind of you.
You can use it to season your gator.
As you do that, by the way, Cedra gets like another tug. He's like, oh, I got another one, and she pulls it out like heavy, but this time it's a whole large salamander. And she's like, I guess this one too. And she like moves her arm. Like, what? Sorry.
Everyone in slow motion.
Coco like tried to grab it,
and she stops and is like, oh, sorry, what? And it like kind of flops lazily onto the ground, like bleh.
This is our new friend.
You want one of these? They're all over the place.
Yes, we need. There's four of us. There's Felix. No, Felix, you'll ride with me. There's four of us.
There's only like one of these.
Oh, we'll need three more.
I can't just bring them out like that.
How about this? That one carries you and Felix, and then I can just turn into one and carry Hellion and Elegy.
Yeah.
Actually, that's pretty good.
I propose that this one's name is Summit Roth.
Summit Roth?
That is Fortimus backwards. Yes. That is the limit of Hellion's creativity.
I didn't take you for a wordsmith, Hellion. Very impressive.
I what?
I really like how you try, Hellion. It's incredible.
I do try a lot. Mm-hmm. I try very hard.
I can definitely tell. I think everyone can.
Well, I guess go ahead and take them. Like, they pop up all over the place, especially when you're fishing. But, right. So if you're, sorry, you were headed towards the ruins?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you see this river right here? She points at, the river, not in the one that she's currently in, but, like, one next to it. So you follow this one along the path, and you might just end up there. If you're going to be taking your little friend here, it'll be a lot easier.
Well, thank you. I misjudged you.
I think that Jaxer is just kind of, like, he's like scratching this salamander under the chin, trying to get friendly with it.
It looks a little disgruntled and reluctant.
Hey, buddy, I get it, but pretty soon we're gonna be friends, you and me.
Give him some of the pennycress.
Oh, yeah, I pull out some pennycress from my pack and give it to him.
Its eyes like glimmer. And just like it reaches its tongue out and eats all the ones that you like put into that you grabbed out.
It likes you.
I know. It's so good.
It's very slimy on your hand.
I love it.
Well, Cedra, thank you for all of your help.
I helped?
Yes.
I was just fishing.
I misjudged you. I thought you were a terrifying, destructive beast.
That's what my father said.
Like with affection, though, right?
Is affection something you eat?
No, it's like positivity and smiles.
We should probably go.
Yeah, we got a lot of ground to cover.
Bringing up tragic backstories for one moment.
Coco's gonna like put her hands on Cedra's shoulders and be like, "I want you to know that we are friends, and if you ever need anything, you come to Coco, and she will help you." And I am Coco because I did not tell you my name yet. So good to meet you.
It was a pleasure to meet you. She says, like, taking the straw that was in her mouth out as, like, a sign of, like good faith, I guess.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Now, if you ever want to summon a Coco, just get a light source, aim it upwards, and then put, like, a little two fingers, like a bunny ear, aim it up at the clouds, and she'll see it and come and help.
That is definitely true, yes.
Wait, that works?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I need to remember that.
So, yeah, she, like, waves you all off as you guys, like, do a bunch of stuff to get traveling.
Yeah.
Yep. Seems like Adam's turning into, Jaxer's turning into one of the salamanders, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right, folks. You travel for what feels like hours. And honestly, it becomes hours to the point where night quickly falls. And you haven't fully gotten to where you think you should be going to. It is still quite, like, it's not necessarily quite a ways away. You feel that if you perhaps push on through the night, you might be able to get there. But also, it might be safer to just stay and, like, rest for the night.
Ah, well, I have just the thing for this scenario. So I find a little bit of clear and, you know, slightly less wet ground, and then I pull out from my bag a little round tin, sort of looks like a tuna can, and it's got like a pull tab on it. It says Brels is like engraved into it. And then I say, "All right, everyone, stand back," and I crank it open, and then poof, a giant beautiful tent comes popping out of it and arranges itself.
Now it's Hellion's turn to do the big Steven Universe star eyes, just like, if we had had these back in the Waywatcher order, that would have been,
you can fit 30 people.
That is so cool. How come you haven't told us you have this?
Well, I don't know. We didn't really need it before.
I totally imagine it as like a two-story tent.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's cool.
It's a good tent.
It totally is. What does it look like? Is it like customized to her aesthetics?
Yeah, oh, man. Feasibly.
Yes, it is. It's like a nice sort of a dark, like black and teal kind of like
Ooh.
Color.
What if the tent poles are like tridents?
Oh, yeah, they totally are. Yes. That's sick. They're different tridents from her defeated foes.
Oh, that's so good.
Elegy never disappoints.
So you enjoy yourself into the night. Is there like let's take a little opportunity. Let's make this a little campfire scene. Does anyone mind if I draw cards for you all for something?
I'm definitely into that.
Go for it.
Let's roll.
Okay. So this is something that's taken from Savage Worlds. Let me quickly grab my book. Savage Worlds has this mechanic called interludes. It lets you all tell stories based on the cards I draw. And if you do it, then I give you an additional AP. Okay. You can do this in any order. But for Jaxer and Elegy, tell me a tale of these clubs. Something revealing from your past or something about misbehaving.
Oh,
ooh, fun.
Okay, so this is Sir Hellion. Something you had or a potential goal or wish. And for Spades with Cindy, a tale of victory. Greatest love, lost, found, like greatest love or greatest victory, essentially.
I think I'm comfortable starting with this if everyone wants more time to think.
Yeah,
go for it.
So as we're all sitting around this fire, I imagine Elegy's like cooking up a frog or something. Jaxer probably harvested a little bit of that gator meat. Maybe did some fishing of his own today because Jaxer is a bit of a fisherman as well. And he's like kind of leaning forward and has some fish or some crocodile or whatever it is on a skewer and is cooking it over the fire. And he kind of turns to everyone else and he says, "You know, I want to thank all of you. I mean, things have been like really, really hard. I know we haven't spoken too much about our past at all, but I know I've told you I can't go home like at all, and it hasn't been easy. I really miss my sister and my parents, and I don't know, I feel like having spent this time with all of you here on the road, it's been really welcoming and it's been really comforting."
Felix immediately puts a hand around, like a hand around your shoulder, and like as you turn to him, he's got like tears streaming down his face, but he's got like this kind of like this bro kind of look to him, being like, "Dude, I feel you exactly. My sister, off in another city, can't see her because what I was doing was dangerous, and I feel you."
And I bring him in for a hug.
Get like a bro hug.
Yeah, total bro hug.
And I think as you kind of talk about that, Akoko just kind of like puts a hand on your shoulder. It's like, well, you know, it's, I hope you can come back to your home one day, because it's important to have a home you can return to. But you can always come to Golden Fields. My house is it's not probably as fancy as even this tent here.
The tent is very fancy, yeah.
It's very fancy. It's like decadent.
Yeah, but it's open and it's warm and it's inviting, and you know, did I ever tell you how I won my house?
I think that Jaxer kind of like laughs a little bit, and like through like trying to kind of like wipe away some just a few tears, is just like, I think I'd like that a lot. No, you haven't, but please tell me.
The house actually belonged to this really amazing person named Kia. And Kia had she wasn't from Golden Fields originally. She was just traveling through, but she took a liking to the area. It's a really friendly area. It's really fun, and she set up a house there. And the second I saw her, I was like, "Well, we're gonna get married."
Aww.
And she was like, I don't think we can do that. I don't think that's gonna be a good idea. And I was like, no, it's the best idea. You and I are gonna get married, and we're gonna spend the rest of our lives together. And so every day I would go and I would see her, and I would bring her something that I'd made. Sometimes it was like a flower crown, and sometimes it was a pie, and sometimes it was a badly bandage like foot, and I'd ask her to help me out, and we would talk. And over time I won her heart, and she gave me her house, and we lived together for 150 years.
Oh.
And she's
That's
not
so sweet.
She's not there right now, but she's always with me, and I know she'd love it if you came and visited and took up a little bit of the space that she had to leave behind.
Coco, I would love that.
Oh, that was such a good story.
Those are really good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
So I think the mood is sort of like, you know, very contemplative for a minute. And then Elegy has finished cooking up the pan of frogs that she makes. So there's a little interruption as she bustles around serving them up to everyone. And they're like real nice, fried up with a lot of butter.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, you all must be wondering about the giant sea serpent-like skeleton that I have up on the wall in here. That was actually one of the very first times that I had an adventure, courtesy of the Riptide Queen. And I think probably some people have heard of this, you know, mysterious sea goddess before, but for anyone who hasn't, she explains and says, you know, the Riptide Queen is a very mysterious deity. No one has ever seen her and come back to tell the tale, at least. But I have been favored by her attention several times to be pulled off by the Riptide to places that no one has seen in a long time.
Did you say several times?
Yes, it's, you know, not overly common, but sometimes she will take a liking to a person and...
You must have a strong relationship.
I suppose you could say that. One doesn't like to put on airs too much, she says, like, examining her nails.
Never you, Elegy. You're so down to earth and easy to talk to. That's why I love you so much.
Exactly. Even probably underwater, which is better than being down to earth.
Felix will look at you being like, I don't know about that one. I don't vibe with that.
She says, well, so this was back when I was very young, even younger than you, Jaxer, if such a thing can be believed. But I was pulled away mysteriously while I was out, you know, adventuring, perhaps a little further afield than most would go from the waters of Tariad. And I was pulled into a cave where I encountered this this giant serpent. And we engaged in a battle that lasted for, I don't know how long, but it must have been several days and nights. It was incredible. And, you know, its scales were so hard that even my finely honed trident would become dull as I tried to pierce it, and I would have to swim away and resharpen it to get it back to fighting fit.
But how did you defeat it, LRG?
Well, eventually, I discovered that the beast's scales protected it. Even when I managed to shear them off, there were still more scales underneath, layers and layers. So what I did was, I waited until its jaws gaped wide, and I dove straight into them, and stabbed through, and came all the way out the back of the serpent, spearing it through in one thrust. And that's why its bones still grace my wall today. And you can see that some of the bones, like the rib cage, has like been sheared off along part of it.
Wow.
You just burst through the ribs?
Yes, they were surprisingly fragile compared to the outside. I suppose so, that it was able to be as flexible as it was.
That's so smart.
Elegy, you are so cool.
Well, I'm very, very pleased to hear you say that. Thank you, Jax.
So I've just like watched all that, listened to the story of Elegy blasting through a sea monster. And I am kind of staring at whatever, I'm imagining we have like a nice brazier in the middle to go with how fancy everything else is. It's no like little fire pit or something.
Yeah, yeah. She's got like one of those Japanese style tables where there's like a charcoal grill built into it for grilling beautiful little fishes on.
So I'm just kind of like staring into the fire of that. Just, I once had a sword given to me by Sir Elaine when I first earned my spurs. Was his when he was a squire, and he gifted it to his younger brother Hagrin. Hagrin died during a raid on a bandit kingdom called the Wall of Barbs, and Sir Elaine was able to recover the sword and carried it with him on his horse thereafter. It was named Greenheart. Most road knights don't name our swords, but Hagrin was young and had some foolish ideas in his head about heroism and glory, not the sorts of things Waywatchers usually find in our careers. Greenheart was a smallish thing compared to what our order normally wields, but it was perfect for me. Its blade was tinged green with meteoric iron from which it was made, and it bore an emerald green silk wrapping around the hilt. It was beautiful. It meant so much to Sir Elaine once. It was a symbol of everything he stood for and fought for. It was what helped him resist the curse of our home, the curse of sleeping vows. When Elaine fell, he took to the road and corrupted or slew his squires. I was dispatched to find him and bring him back. I took Greenheart and my destrier and took to the road. I found him in a keep on the Golden Road, just a few miles south. He'd taken over a walled coaching inn, slaughtered the innkeep and the guests, and posted himself up in it like a king in a castle. I begged him to explain himself. Why had he done this? What could have justified this? He frowned and said nothing. We fought for almost an hour. By the end, I was an inch from collapsing at the exhaustion, and he was barely winded. He struck what could have been a killing blow, but I raised Greenheart with the last of my strength, and it shattered. He sheathed his sword and walked away as I fell to my knees. I woke up the next day, and Sir Elaine and his army of corrupted squires were nowhere to be seen, and I was alone. I returned to the Waywatcher Order, had them forge me my new sword, and headed south.
So you're saying this dude broke your heart?
Ah, wow.
Sorry.
Felix.
Felix.
Felix, please. Come on.
I mean, there was a whole metaphor there and everything, Felix. Right?
No.
There was like a metaphor there. I feel you.
It's too on the nose, Felix.
Helion, don't you think it means something that he didn't actually kill you?
I don't know what it means, but he's killed plenty of people since.
But you said he was under a curse. Is it...
We're all under a curse. Well, not you all. I mean, everyone from my homeland.
So, shouldn't you be a little sympathetic towards him?
That doesn't mean I'm not going to stop him.
Does this mean you're gonna, like, curse kill us?
No.
Helion, can I ask you something?
Maybe.
It's just... Aren't you scared? I mean, you're one of these knights too.
Yeah.
What if it happens to you?
Well, eventually it will. And hopefully I will have trained a replacement who's capable of killing me.
I don't want to think about that.
Why does it have to happen to you? You're not around the others. You're not in your hometown.
I don't know if curses work like that.
It could if it's the place.
It might be. I don't know. I've never heard of a story of a knight escaping it, but we'll see.
We will. And if there's a way, I will help you stop it.
I don't know much about stopping curses, but I know about...
What do you know about?
Felix.
Like, Felix, what do you know?
Felix, read the room, Felix.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Forever GM Presents Quest. As always, if you did enjoy the show, please help us spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're using to listen. It really does go a long way in helping new listeners discover us. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter at ForeverGMPod, that's with the number 4, or you can find our website at www.forevergm.com, and again, that's with the number 4. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.